the truth.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day. Courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 28th day of May, year of our Lord, 2021. Welcome to the John Moore Show. We begin our shows with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Prepper tip today, you might want to check out thrift stores, flea markets, yard sales for useful things. I just picked up a nice sleeping bag yesterday at the local thrift store for $3. Keep that for unexpected guests, so to speak. You might find tools. You may find cast iron cookware at those places. Thrift markets, thrift stores, flea markets, yard sales. So check them out. We have patient waiting in green with my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began a quest more than half a century ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in emergency survival communications, ham radio, and related matters. Good morning, Tom. Well, sir, each successive week we find the world has become a bit more strange and a bit more bizarre, don't we, sir? It appears that when I started talking about a year ago, and Mike Adams and others, it's been right at a year, that the Chinese flu is a man-made disease coming out of the laboratory at Wuhan, China. It's now becoming mainstream news. It only took a year. And I'm not sure where this is going to go, but Anthony Fauci is up to his eyeballs in this. We've now had a French scientist go public. Let's see if I can find this guy's name. I can. Luc Montagnier. Luc Montagnier. Have you heard of Luc, Tom?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us about it?
You're about to. Luc won a Nobel Prize for his work in virology. Now, something Anthony Fauci will never do is win a Nobel Prize for anything, let alone his area of expertise in disease control and virology and so forth. Well, Luc Montagnier has gone public and says that these COVID vaccines are poison. He's very upset with these COVID vaccines being released on the public. So now we add him to the list of top scientists, top doctors that are doing their best to warn the general public about the dangers of these vaccines. And I'm so pleased to see that we now have a Nobel laureate add his name to the list, saying the vaccines are no good, that they're poison. Some people have extrapolated and said, and give Montagnier credit for saying the vaccines are going to kill everybody. He didn't quite say that, but he did say that the vaccines are poison. Now, Tom, you have people you love that have taken the shot. I do, too. My decision is just to be kind to them, love them until they die. The estimates vary wildly, I should say, about how many people will die, whether it's 25%, 40%, 60%, how soon they'll die, 6 months after the shot, 18 months, 24 months. So there's wide variation in those details, but consensus among people like Dr. Yaden, Luc Montagnier, Sherry Tenpenny, that these vaccines are going to kill people. That's the consensus. The official head count is just over 4,000 in the United States have died, which is estimated to be about 1% of the actual deaths. Since the VAERS system, I think it's V-A-R-E-S, is voluntary, only about 1 or 2% of the incidents involving these vaccines are actually reported. So, Tom, I'm expecting to see a lot of real estate come on the market in about 6 months to 2 years, because the owners of residential and commercial property will be dead, won't they?
Yes, John, and you know there could be a glut of those properties available, and therefore the prices will drop, and it will be a buying opportunity for those that,
absolutely.
Didn't take the vaccine.
I'm saving up as I can to buy a bargain when the time comes, and I don't feel any embarrassment or shame about that at all. It's just these properties will be sold, and I may as well be a buyer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the main topic right this hour is not the COVID. It's related, but emergency survival communications, ham radio. People dying will include people who maintain the telephones, maintain the cell phone network, maintain the computers that make the telephone network work, that maintain the power grid. All these things are, in fact, related, aren't they, sir?
Well, they really are, John, and anybody that's taken the time to study technology and obtained a ham radio license, they'll have a good basic understanding of how a lot of this works, and it may open up some opportunities for them in the future, maybe even the near future.
Very true. Unfortunately and sadly, very true. Well, if you need somebody who knows how to do an install and do serious repair work on a cell phone tower, a cell site, so to speak, the tower and all the equipment in the little building. Typically, it's a small structure with no windows at the base of it. They're really, compared to the general population, there really aren't that many men that can do that. It's a rare problem. There may be some women who do that occupation. I'm not aware of them. But it's not that many compared to the general population who have that skill set, are there?
No, not really, John. And, you know, a friend of mine was a top engineer in that area for Verizon. He's recently retired. And he said they can't, even today, he said they can barely find people that have the technical skills to do the work. And I remember him telling me that he said they would outfit these vans with all the test equipment to troubleshoot the radios, because those are basically transmitters and receivers.
Right.
And they would have a very expensive test instrument in there. And he told me, he says, you know, a lot of these guys can't do it, even with the equipment. He says they can't do it. And he says, if it gets down to a certain level, he said they call one of the higher, the upper management people to come out there and do it. He said that the typical service guy on the road, what it got down to was they would go to the cell site and try to isolate the problem, and that's as far as it went. They didn't have they just couldn't comprehend what was going on, and all the test equipment was there. All the stuff they needed was there, but they could not do it. And these were the people that they sorted out and hired. This was I would almost call it the cream of the crop, and that's all they could get. Well, the same thing in the broadcast industry. I've been offered jobs, but I just don't want anything to do with it. But they can't find anybody that has the skills to do this type of work.
Well, here's the issue that we're talking about here. What keeps our society functioning in the modern age is incredibly complex. The men and women who know how to set up and maintain that equipment, many of them will be dead. Many of the men and women who train other men and women to do this work, they will be dead. The entire infrastructure is at risk. Everything. The power grid, the cell phone system, everything is at risk. Even things as simple as the public water supply in cities is at risk. It's all computer controlled, isn't it, Tom?
It is, John. It is. And, well, I could tell you story after story about how the people that have to hire help to maintain some of these systems and the opportunities out there for high-paying, high-level jobs, there's quite a few of them. And if you have the skills, you can get those types of jobs right now.
Well, listen up, all you parents and grandparents at homeschool. Listen up. This is an opportunity. If the boy or girl that you're helping to homeschool is predisposed to this kind of endeavor, working with radios and electronics, encourage that. There's all kinds of entry-level projects for youngsters to build their own radios, simple entry-level radios, learn the basic skills of soldering, learn what a transistor, resistor, and diode is, how they work, why they work, how to put them together, and encourage a youngster in that area of expertise, if they're inclined to do so. Everybody's got their own interest, obviously. And, of course, a basic part of that would be joining the ARRL organization. That's the American Radio Relay League, and they have a website. We give this out every week, ARRL.org. That's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima.org. The beginning point to understand, comprehend, learn about ham radio, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good way to get started. And you know, John, can I make a comment real quick about some of these jobs that could be available? Well, some right now, and many more in the future. I've talked to several people that do hiring for these types of jobs. And, you know, I remember one lady, she asked me if I would be interested, and I said no. And the reason I had to talk to her is I had bought the entire communication system, all the radio equipment, the mobile units, the base stations, everything for a regional trucking line that had closed down. And I had to go to one of the transmitter sites to take that transmitter out of there, the remote-controlled base station out of that building. And the building was owned by a radio station in Columbia, Missouri. So when I went there, we went in there, and the guy said, okay, it was a station manager, and he said, okay, he says, what you want is right here. He said, don't touch any of this over here. It's very complicated. I said, well, I know, that's your transmitter. It's a Harris, blah, 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 6-kilowatt transmitter. I've worked on those. He goes, you work on those? I says, yeah, I have. And he said, he gives me his card and writes a number on the back. He says, call this lady as soon as you can if you're interested in maintaining this one. He said, we cannot find people. John, this was 2001. This goes back to about October of 01. And when I called that woman, she said that they hired somebody as an engineer, a young guy, and she said he paid a lot of money to go to a so-called broadcast engineering school. And the closest thing he ever got to hands-on work was taking a VCR apart, and they had them tune up a VCR. They said this would be similar to what you'd be doing out in the field. And
That's criminal. They took this young man's money.
Well, that's what she said. That's
representing themselves as giving education. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this woman said she was shocked, and she said she felt so sorry for this young man. And I said, look, most of the work in a radio station is repairing microphones and a control board and just crazy things like that. And she goes, you're right. And I said, and you better learn about air conditioners. And she says, how did you know that? I said, because when these transmitters in the hot summer heat, those transmitters are temperature control. They monitor the temperature and they're controlled. If it gets too hot, the newer transmitters will shut down. And many times it's nothing more than a clogged up air conditioner filter for that building. So you have to be able to diagnose that type of equipment as well. And she asked me if I would come to work for it. And you know, the funny thing is, she said, can I ask you a personal question? I said, what's that? And she wanted to know if I had any gray hair. I said, well, it's starting to get there. She goes, okay. I said, why'd you ask that? She said, I can't ask your age, but I just wanted to know if you were old enough and been around this stuff long enough, you know how to do it. She said, there is no way we would ever hire an electrical engineer that has no field experience. She said, a lot of them can do everything with paperwork. She said they're book smart, but she says they can't even solder a wire or twist two wires together. And we need people that can go out in the field and make these things run under some adverse conditions at times. And I said, yeah, that's what you need. But I said, I told her I couldn't afford a cut in pay. And she kind of chuckled. She says, yeah, we don't pay as much as you probably make now. But I told her, I said, I'm selling my test equipment for field work in the broadcast industry. I don't even want to work on radio stations anymore. I didn't want to tell her why, but the reason is they were very difficult to work for and get paid. They were always slow pay, very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no more of that for me. But they cannot find, 20 years ago, they could not find people. And the best thing to find.
I'm sure it's improved, Tom, hasn't it?
I hope it has.
I doubt it.
John, I know what you're saying, but I hope it has. I'm sure there's exceptions to all of this, but, you know, this lady started I talked to her for about an hour, and she was telling me some of the horror stories. And it's incredible. And she said, you know, I told her I was a ham operator, and I did have a commercial FCC license and all that. Told her I worked on two-way systems, and she said, you know, guys like you, that's who we want. She says, we want people with hands-on experience, and she says, I have found over the years, and she owned the whole radio network, by the way, and she said, over the years, I have found if we hire somebody that got into ham radio at a young age, that they will grow up and they'll just absorb all that information. And she said, those are the people we're looking for. And I said, well, I started when I was 13. She says, yes, and that's why I'm interested in talking to you. But she says, obviously, you're not interested in position. I said, no. But that's what they were looking for. So there's proof right there that if you maybe you're a homeschooler and you have young children that are interested in communications or radios or any of this stuff, and I really think if you would take some of these young people to a ham fest or out on field day that I is next month. Field day will be setting up ham radio stations to work under simulated emergency conditions.
Right. We'll talk about field day.
These kids can learn about it.
Get back from the break. We'll talk about the current free field day coming up in just about a month. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Fix bayonets.
Leave Eden and Nicole Colgren. Where for many men have gone.
All right, we're back with Jerry Manager on Friday, the 28th of May. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. Very nice $50 discount on each piece of equipment you get from EMP Shield at my website at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications. And let's go back to the ARRL website. Let's see, I had it here a moment ago. I'll get back and we'll discuss the upcoming field day, which is the last weekend of June. I'll have it here momentarily. Okay, here we go. And this would be June 26th and 27th. And if you're at the ARRL website, you can find the location of the nearest field day event near where you might be. And they got a place, it says, new to field day, start here. And let's see. You can find all the locations here at the website. It goes 24 hours a day for 2 days, doesn't it, Tom?
Yes, it goes for a weekend, basically the whole weekend. And it's there's different it's a contest as well as an exercise to set up portable stations, and it's there's a lot of interest in it. It's probably the biggest event of the year and draws quite a few radio clubs, some single transmitter operators, but usually it's a radio club or a group that will get together. They might set up a tent in a city park, maybe on a parking lot, but they set up their portable antennas, generators. Sometimes they will actually plug in and use utility power, but that gives you a much lower score. So to get a decent score, you really have to work off the grid and have battery power. You get the best score, the best multiplier for your score by using battery power, solar power, things like that. And then, but a lot of them use generators because a lot of these clubs are running, they're running multiple stations at one time, and it takes a generator. But then others will run multiple batteries and power all those stations for that time period off those batteries.
Right. Well, at the ARRL website, it says there'll be 407 field day sites, and they have a search engine here that you can use to locate the one closest to you. And so I encourage people to do this, especially for the youngsters. It'll be fascinating for youngsters to see this equipment in operation, to watch people talk all over the country without the benefit of telephones or cell phones. And it might be just what it takes to get a young man or a young woman, a boy or a girl, interested in ham radio. It might be just the ticket, couldn't it, Tom?
Yes, that's true. And I remember years ago, I was at one of the field day setups, and there were some younger people there. And I remember the one kid, he was probably about 10. He was very interested, so they let him do the logging. He listened, and they showed him. He watched a guy do it, and he watched him write the call signs down, and I showed him how to do it. And then the guy that was doing the operating was sitting right next to him, and then this young kid wrote down the call signs and entered them into the logbook. And then that, of course, is submitted to the ARRL for the scoring and the prizes and certificates and all that. But anyway, this kid got very interested, and I found out that he did go on to become a ham radio operator. This was a long time ago, maybe 25 years ago, something like that. But he did go on, and most likely still a ham operator. And who knows, that young person could have gone quite a ways in the field of technology that has to do with communications just by that one event. So that's why I say, if you have young people that you think would be interested, take them out there and find out where the field day setup is in your area, and go out there and watch what's going on. Many times the TV stations will go, and so will newspapers. They'll take pictures and photographs and interview people and get it into the media. But by then, it's after the fact. It's almost too late. But try to find out in advance and go there with these younger folks, right, and let them learn about it.
Well, there is a map of the United States here with markers indicating the locations of field day sites that a person can click on there and find. So it's very doable, and I hope people will do this, and especially take children and grandchildren to these events. Here's our bottom of the hour break. Call number is 512-248-8255.
Truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
And let's talk more about Field Day and what goes on with Field Day. These ham clubs will set up their portable stations many times in a city park, for instance, and they will always invite the public to come and observe what's going on. They'll have antennas strung up through trees. Sometimes they'll put up a small tower to get that antenna higher off the ground. It's usually easy to find them by looking for these antennas and look for the tent. You'll hear Morse code coming out of the speakers. You'll hear people talking, and that's going to be a good way to find them. And you'll see people hanging around. There might be a dozen transmitter operators there, because many of these clubs will set up multiple stations. It's quite an event. And if you were ever interested in seeing how an emergency communications center would perform out in the field with a minimal of infrastructure to get it going, this is a good way to observe that and see how it's actually set up. Also,
Okay, Tom, I'm back.
Okay, well, I was just continuing on about field day, and what I wanted to say is these stations set up in these remote locations or sometimes state parks, city parks, things like that. It could be in the middle of a forest. It doesn't matter. Or in your backyard. Many operators will set up a simple station, very low power, simple station in their backyard. They just get it away from their house, and they don't plug in. They use batteries and solar panels, things like that, or a generator. And then they set the station up, and they, even with this simple equipment, they're still able to talk worldwide. So that's why it's so important to learn about how this is performed, how it works, and what's involved. Because in the coming years, if it ever got down to a very, very bad grid down, lights out situation, these would be the stations that would be on the air. Similar types of stations would be on the air, and this is how information would get out. I don't think the government really likes some of this. They kind of promote it, but John, I'm hearing rumbles that rumbling going on through the ranks that there's been talk about eliminating ham radio. They don't really like it.
Well, I don't doubt that a bit. I need to remind people that my Memorial Day sale of energy cleaners is in effect right now until midnight the 31st. $25 off energy cleaners, 25% off mattress pads. When you place your order, my automated system charges full price. I manually refund the sale price. And that's in effect right now at my website at thelibertyman.com. You can place your order. My order takers don't have a clue about the Memorial Day sale, so don't even ask them. Just place your order. I'll take care of manually refunding the sale price. And my toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. And, this is a once-a-year event. And you take advantage of it now, and you can, have some fun. Typically, there's going to be food and beverages available. Not always, but much of the time. It's a social event also, isn't it, Tom?
Well, it really is, and a lot of times you get to get outdoors and meet with people that you've known for a long time but maybe haven't seen for a while. So it's... Yeah, it's a social event for the most part, and some of the people take turns operating the station, and then when they're finished with that, they might go over and barbecue for a while, and of course, a lot of people hanging around the barbecue grill talking, and they're discussing radio equipment. They talk about everything, but it mostly revolves around the communications equipment that they're using, and it's pretty interesting. You can learn a lot and meet some interesting people there.
That's right. You certainly can. You got a question or comment about emergency survival communication? We'll certainly entertain that at 512-248-8252. A lot of older folks, they think of having to know Morse code as part of becoming a ham operator. That's no longer the case, is it, sir?
No, it's not. Nope. That went out the window quite a while ago, and so it's no longer needed, but it's still popular. As a matter of fact, talking about field day, if you use to get the highest score, and they have multipliers depending on what type of station you have, what mode of operation and power source and all that. So if you use, for instance, battery power and a very low power transmitter and Morse code, you would get one of the highest multipliers, and you wouldn't have to have as many contacts to get a high score. So that's what I've always done, is is to do it that way. So there's still a lot of interest in Morse code. As a matter of fact, many hams get their license and they didn't have to learn the Morse code, or CW as they call it. And they then develop an interest in it because when they tune around, they hear these stations and they want to know what they're saying. So they start studying and they learn it. There's a lot of code reader units out there that allow the Morse code to be picked up and displayed on a computer screen. I don't really think that's the way to do it, but a lot of the people do. And if you're going to do that, you may as well go to just digital operation. It'd be a lot better, I think, than a code reader, because they do get false readouts pretty often. They don't always read it 100%, so you lose a lot of the message. But the best thing to do is learn it. If you're interested at all, do your best to learn it. Get on the air, start real slow, and your code speed will come up pretty fast. And the thing about Morse code is, in a grid down situation where there was minimal equipment or power available to operate any type of equipment, Morse code would be the mode of communications that would get through the best and the easiest with hardly any equipment at all. And you're basically just turning on and off a transmitter to generate the dots and dashes of Morse code. And you can use very, very simple equipment. Sometimes the equipment only has two transistors in the transmitter. Very minimal equipment, very, very low power, but it gets through when many other modes will not get through. And, of course, if computers were all wiped out, the digital communications would go by the wayside, and the Morse code signals would still get through.
That's
so
right.
You can buy, John, you can buy, go on eBay, and I've bought one. I never really set it up. I just wanted to see what it looked like. I bought one of these little Chinese Morse code CW 40 meter, so it works on 7 megahertz transceiver. And it was a little circuit board about 2 inches square, maybe not even that big, inch and a half square, something like that. And it was, I think it put out 1 watt somewhere along those lines, 1 watt of power. But it did work. And I think the whole kit, yeah, I had to put it together, but it didn't take that long, an hour or so to put it together. And that kit cost, I think it was with shipping and all, was like $5.50. So you don't have to spend a lot of money. In fact, the telegraph key would cost more than the whole setup. So a telegraph key, that little $5 kit, and a pair of headphones, you can use almost any kind of headphones, and you have a ham radio station.
Amazing. Amazing. There's an article here at the ARRL website. Here's the headline. Radio Amateur's Vintage Home Movie Film Sheds Light on Hindenburg Disaster. The airship Hindenburg had a crash landing in 1937 in Lakehurst, New Jersey. This was a historical event. 35 people died. Apparently, a ham radio operator took an 8mm movie of the incident, offered it to the investigators at the time, who didn't even want it. And it was used to make a documentary in 2012 to shed light on the disaster, because this footage was from a different angle than the existing footage that was in existence at the time. So here we have a ham radio operator in 1937 shooting a home movie, 8mm movie of this disaster. And it's helped bring new evidence to the table of what actually happened that day in 1937. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is, John. It really is. And you see what type of skills come along with being involved in ham radio. You get a lot of hands-on, building things, wiring things up. You can take these skills and apply them in so many different areas. If you wanted to do electrical repairs, you could do that. It would just help you to gather the skill sets needed, and also the tools. You'll acquire tools doing this. You know, John, when I started in 1967, I had very little in the way of tools. And it was a huge event when I was able to purchase a voltmeter and a volt-ohm meter. I think I paid $11 for it, if I remember right. And I really needed it. I needed it really bad, and I got it finally. And it was hard to scrape that kind of money together as a kid, you know. But within within 10 years, I had, in less than 10 years, I had developed the skills and put together enough equipment and things to actually put repeater systems on the air. And I had set up a 450 megahertz repeater in Clayton, Missouri, which is the county seat for St. Louis County. And I've told you about that. It was on top of a 15-story building there. So we had quite a bit of good coverage, even for HTs, believe it or not. It did work very well. And we had an interconnect to the phone line so we could use it as a portable phone and had a lot of fun with that. And this is, people would laugh at what it was by today's standards, but in 1975 when we set that thing up, it was, that was quite a system.
And, right.
Yeah, I knew people that worked on police radios and police systems, and a couple of those guys told me that what you've set up works better than what the police departments have.
Right.
So that was all from ham radio. That was all from messing around as a kid with ham radio stuff, John, and it progressed that quick. So you get a young person and get them started, they'll soak it up like a sponge and go on from there. That's why I try to encourage, especially the homeschooling crowd, to let these kids see how this works, and field day is a good good thing to get started with. Let them see how it works, right. And if it sparks the interest, they can go from there.
The man who trained me to do to build antennas, install antennas, install radios, he was trained by NATO technicians. And in fact, his 21st birthday, or maybe not his birthday, but he's 21 years old, he climbed up on the wall of the Russian embassy in Thailand to determine what their communications equipment was and report back to his superiors. And he says, when we're doing an install, he says, John, we're going to do this to NATO spec. And I said, okay, let's do it. And so I was trained by one of the best to do these kind of installs, and I'm very glad that I was, because it served me very well in all kinds of things, even working on my Triumph. I've got all necessary tools to do proper electrical work, trace down what needs to be traced down, do proper repairs, and get it done in a professional manner. And it all goes back to ham radio, Tom.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And you find out that you start acquiring the tools that are needed, and that is so important, getting the proper hand tools and equipment that you need to service this type of equipment. And you will be the person that's sought out in difficult situations to keep stations on the air and get repairs done. And it could be a very, very lucrative job if you get into this area, very high paying. So I think it's something that's really important enough to make sure that young people at least get to see it one time. And if it sparks an interest, they can follow up with the ham club and get involved and go from there.
My neighbors out here, Tom, very few of them send their children off to these colleges and universities where people graduate. And you go to a bookstore, you'll find people with bachelor's and master's degrees in English working minimum wage selling books. You will.
Yeah.
The youngsters out here, they go to technical schools. They get degrees in heating and air conditioning, automotive technology, other types of similar fields. And a good example, young man, he's working on my Triumph. He's only 24 years old. He's already bought his second house. He's only 20, and he took every course they had in automotive, diesel mechanics, everything, how to repair diesel engines, gas engines, do body work, upholstery work, everything. And He's very highly sought after by the shops out here that do that kind of work. So we got a caller on hold here. We got Glenn in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Tom. Hi. As usual, Tom, you're triggering the nostalgic elements for me. You mentioned getting your first multimeter, your first volt ohmmeter there. I remember as a kid, a lot of these were what were called VTVMs, vacuum tube voltmeters, because even the meters themselves were had tubes in them back in the day and got plugged into the wall at the bench, you know. And I'm just thinking, look at the, you mentioned how this small transceiver you bought, you know, the miniaturization of things. And just look how we have, then we had portable, you know, volt ohm meters, and now they're multimeters that measure all sorts of things.
We do.
Sometimes
Glenn,
we've
got a break coming up. You want to wrap it up or you want to hold?
I'll hold for 1 second.
Okay, hold on.
I'll hold for this real quick.
We got a break.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
All and right, if... we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Glenn, let's wrap up your comments, sir. We're almost done here.
To Tom, I just think it's interesting how the miniaturization and commoditization of everything means that you can now buy, like, a multimeter, you know, for less than $20 in the hard lines aisle at the food store, you know. But
that's sometimes true.
A little dismayed by how few of the multimeters have a continuity tester with a tone on it, so that you don't have to look up from what you're doing, you know, to tell you if you have continuity. If you don't have that, you can use your own meter and look for infinitely high resistance for an open circuit or infinitely low resistance for, you know, continuity. But I always like the little Radio Shack LCD one I had that has a continuity tester with a tone.
Well, yes, and those are very handy. You know what I use most of the time for general purpose work is a Simpson 260, and I have the one with the overload button on it. So if you accidentally plug it onto a voltage source and it's on ohms or something, that thing will pop, and it protects the instrument from being damaged. You can reset it. It's like a circuit breaker. And I use that. And then on the bench for working on RF-type equipment, and these are analog meters. They're not digital. And I use a Hewlett-Packard 410C, C as in Charlie, Series C, and it has an active RF probe that goes up to 700 megahertz. So that thing works extremely well for RF circuitry down to very low levels. And then, of course, I use oscilloscopes, and I use analog and digital oscilloscopes. But I do even carry in the car a real cheap $20 or $22, something like that, from Harbor Freight, one of their digital multimeters. And it does have that tone. The problem with the tone thing is it's so weak, it's hard to hear in some of those meters. Some of them are better than others. And some of the better digital meters are made by Fluke. They make some of the best ones. Right. But I would never carry one of those around in the trunk of the car. But I do keep that Harbor Freight thing in there because if it gets broken, I'm not too worried about it. But it's believe it or not, it's relatively accurate. It is pretty accurate. And you could use it as your all-around test meter. But it's really nice to have an analog meter. Some of the digital ones have a bar graph display on there that takes the place of the analog meter, but I still like seeing that needle moving around, and that's why I have several other. I think it's a model 427A that was made by Hewlett Packard that would run on battery power or AC power, and I have that set up also. It's a regular a volt ohm meter, but it's in that It's that same type of case that the HP equipment was made in. And then another really good meter to get, if you can find a nice one, is one of these older, they're made by Viz, V-I-Z, or RCA, I think Simpson even. They're all made by the same company, but private labeled for various companies, but they had a huge meter on them. And the one I have is a model 98. I think it's a VZ98C, C as in Charlie. And it has a huge meter. I mean, those are very, it's a VTVM, vacuum tube voltmeter. And those are very nice.
Heathkit had a kit one back in the day. Yeah.
Yes, and those were good, too. They were pretty darn good.
Okay.
Heathkit.
Tom, thank you.
All right, guys, thank you.
For the call. Okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
We're top of the hour break. We'll be back with open lines.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because